Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program here at 92.3 FM. We also welcome those on the East Coast that are joining us through DCNowRadio.com, as well as those tuning in around the world through BlogTalkRadio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. Have a great half hour coming up for you all today. We're going to be speaking with filmmaker Lauren Fash. She's here to talk to us not only about what it is about the creative process that inspires her, but also her brand new project that's getting a lot of buzz right now, and that's the film Quiet. We're going to talk to her not only about what inspired the film, but what she hopes all of you as moviegoers take away from it. Lauren, welcome to Conversations Live.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's exciting to speak with you, Lauren, and I've been excited about this ever since last month we had the opportunity to speak to Susan Graham, who's a producer on the project, as well as acts in the project as well. And when she was talking about it, and I went to the website, and we'll give that out here in a moment, you know, I thought, wow, what a powerful story. And that, to me, really sums up what you're able to do as a filmmaker. Before we talk about Quiet, let's talk about the process for you, because I think any form of creativity is exciting. When did you know that you wanted to be one of these individuals, Lauren, that was able to bring stories to life?
You know, it's interesting. I started out, I think as a kid, you know, I think it was like third grade, you see those little things you do for class, and I wanted to be a novelist. That was what I wanted to be. And, you know, I've always loved films. And to be completely honest, I didn't even know that filmmaking could be a career. You know, I grew up in Atlanta, and Hollywood just seemed like this, you know, false reality to me. It was just, like, too far-fetched to be real. So
yeah.
It wasn't until I moved to San Francisco and started getting involved with film classes and kind of, you know, I started shooting these little Super 8 movies, and it was then that I kind of realized that it was a possibility, and I got a job working on a film called Wanted in 2007 in Chicago, working on that for about a month, and that was when I saw the process kind of unfolding, and I it was kind of then and there that I was like, okay, I definitely want to go for this. This is, you know, what I want to do, and so that was, it was kind of then.
Well, and now to look at what you've done. I mean, Quiet has gotten a lot of buzz at these film festivals. People are loving not only the message, I think, but also the way it's been brought together. When you get that type of feedback, does it just feel as though it's validation for you walking in the path that you want it for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really humbling experience, especially getting into we just found out we got into Palm Springs, which is an Academy qualifier, which is always, you know, a huge deal, and that was really exciting. And, you know, I think the great thing for me is this film, you know, the subject matter is based around same-sex medical rights. And
yeah.
So my biggest concern was that it was only going to appeal to a small community, you know, just to the gay community. And that's
right.
As much as I wanted the gay community to embrace this film and see it, I also wanted to appeal to a broader audience. So I think that getting into these film festivals, like the USA Film Festival we got into, which was huge. You know, it's a huge film festival, and it takes place in Dallas. And, you know, to get into that one in Texas was really rewarding, because it made us realize that we did make a film that people can, you know, appreciate from all walks of life, not just the gay community. So
right,
it has been
right.
An incredible experience so far.
You know, it's funny when you said that, I thought about, I think, the conundrum that all individuals who are in the creative community feel, and that is you want to do what you feel, but you also don't want to be pigeonholed. You don't want to be boxed in by what you're able to create. And so I think it's great that you're saying that. But I also think it's a testament to something else, Lauren, and then we'll talk about when someone is being authentic, when someone is really being true and passionate about something, I think it's almost impossible for people outside of the quote-unquote norm to be able to notice. And what I mean by that is, even though it might seem as though something might be for only a certain group, I think what your film shows is that really humanity is universal, and that it's mm-hmm. easy to be able to insert your own circumstances in what you're seeing and hearing. Is that something that you've heard about this project?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think also, you know, what you're saying about as an artist, you want to bring your own experiences to life. I took on this project. Susan Graham is the producer, and she co-wrote the film with me and also stars, and she plays Allie. She's a woman of many talents. And I had met Susan. Susan is just incredibly smart and talented, and we met a few years ago. And so when she approached me about this project, she said, you know, I want to do a project surrounding love and loss, basically, which was like the main elements and themes. And I lost my father when I was 17. And so when we were writing this film, you know, the way that Susan and I write is, you know, she'll take a scene and kind of roll with it, and I'll take a scene and roll with it, and we'll come back and edit together and kind of, you know, it's very collaborative. But for certain scenes that I just said, I need to take this myself, I promise, you know, I have experience with this, and I know the feelings that come from it. And, you know, there's a scene in the film where, you know, Allie is upset and, you know, Sam is in the hospital and she goes home and she smells her clothes, which is very, you know, it's very upsetting, but it's very, I think it's a very poignant moment in the film, a very touching moment, because that actually happened to me. And, it, you know, like from people who have seen the film, that scene seems to stand out to them as kind of a moment that really touched them. And I think that it's like what you're saying, it's real life and it's human. It's not, this isn't, you know, there are no such thing as gay feelings and straight feelings. You know, yeah. Like emotions are emotions. And that's what we were trying to do with this movie, is kind of show that there's an injustice going on in the country, and not to get too preachy about it, but we are all human beings and we all have feelings, and this is a tragic moment in everyone's lives. And we're all going to be faced with a moment like this when we lose someone we love, or we're you know, faced with a moment where we might lose them, you know. So that was definitely what we were hoping to do. And yeah, that as the, coming on as the director, that was really what attracted me to the piece.
Yeah. And I think, too, that brings up a great point. I love what you said about emotions are emotions. And we're going to come back to that in the platform you have, Lauren, in the moment. I want to say, for those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, we appreciate you all calling in on the online side. We're not taking callers for Lauren for this segment, because I want to be able to try to get as much information as we can, but we do appreciate you all calling in. Feel free to stay on the line on the switchboard side and listen into the conversation. And also, I think my producer is going to be opening up the chat room there, so feel free to add your dialogue there. But I think, Lauren, what you have been able to do with this Project Quiet that we're talking about, but also with your creative career, is being able to do what we have been talking about on this program all this year, and that is living your life on purpose and understanding what it's like to be able to identify your purpose and then to walk in that purpose. When you look at a project like Quiet, though, of course, it's a hot-button issue on a lot of levels, I'm sure, because for one, we're squarely in the midst of this war over health care, it seems like, for everybody. And, you know, people have, you know, their own views about that. And then, of course, the issue of a same-sex relationship, that is another. But there's also something else. And you mentioned, of course, what the producer of the project, you know, is able to do in this as well, and that being Susan. And she's also the character that she plays. There's also a... there's the inability to be yourself, which is the really irony, I think, of this whole thing. So to talk a little bit about Quiet, one thing that has to happen is the truth has to be denied in order for there to at least be some type of interaction between these characters. And, you know, you can give as much information about that part as you want to, but, you know, one thing that I had a guest say to me probably 5 years on this show, Lauren, and I have never forgotten it, because it meant so much to me when she said it, and that was, you know, there's nothing like the opportunity to walk in your own truth. And one thing that happens in this film is that, you know, lies have to be told. There has to be some deceit in order for them to even be there for each other. Talk to us about that part of the film for you and what that means to, you know, I think, again, going back to what you said about emotions being emotions, we want to be there for those that we care about. You know, what do you hope we are able to take away from that aspect, just as human beings, you know, what it's like for us not to be able to be where we want to be?
Well, I think first and foremost, everyone should know that this film is inspired by a true story. It was inspired by a woman named Janice Langbehn. And if you Google her, you can read her story, and, you know, she's all over the internet, and you can see what happened to her. But basically, she was denied the right to say goodbye to her wife of 15 years in a Florida hospital in 2007. Not only was she denied, but her three small children that they adopted together were also denied the right to say goodbye. And the children were legally Lisa's children. So there is just no excuse. It was horrific. It was a horrible thing that happened to this woman. And I'm in touch with Janice. So her and I have been in touch for the past year and a half, and she's seen the film, and she's very supportive. So, you know, this has been a very personal experience for me. But,
yeah.
You know, with that aside, the film, in our story, in Quiet, the main character, Allie, who is played by Susan Graham, is basically forced to lie and say she is her wife Sam's sister in order to be with her in a hospital in a small Texas town. Sam was in a car accident and she's unconscious. So, you know, Allie basically, in fear of not being able to see her, just says, I'm her sister. So the film is kind of, you know, focused around what happens when the hospital finds out and kicks her out because, you know, in Janice's case, she went in being truthful, right? She went into the hospital and said, my wife has just, you know, collapsed. They were on a cruise ship waiting to leave to go on a cruise together, the family vacation. And the social worker walked up to her and said, you're in an anti-gay city and state. Legally, you have no rights here. Unless you give me this, this, and this, you're not going to see her. And Janice paused and said, well, I have all those documents. I have everything you've just asked for. Because legally they had done all this stuff because Janice was sick and they needed to do this for, you know, extreme measures, which most straight couples don't do, by the way. You know, they don't have their next of kin paper or their, you know, all of the paperwork involved with your wills when you're at that age.
Right.
So anyway, regardless, the hospital said no. And the funny thing was Janice waited in that hospital, or she waited in the emergency room for 8 hours, and Lisa's sister finally showed up because she had to drive from Jacksonville. And when Lisa's sister walked in, she said, I'm Lisa Pond's sister, and the hospital did not ask for identification. They didn't ask for anything. They just said, oh, you're her sister? Sorry, she's already been moved to the morgue. Like, she could have walked back there. If Janice had lied and just said she was her sister, she could have seen her, and it wouldn't have been a problem. Right? So that's, with us, it was, you know, that was just such a interesting thing when Janice told us that. We were like, oh, my God, that is horrible. You know, she was just trying to be honest, and no one will allow to see. So we thought, how interesting. What if Allie lies and says she's her sister, and then the hospital finds out, and there's this trouble because of, you know, this lie that she was forced to tell. But, to me, it just, you know, I think Susan has talked about this a lot, and her and I have talked about this a lot. But, you know, in situations like this, you can always hide. You know, you can always say, oh, I'm just doing my job. Or,
right.
You know, well, these are the rules and this is the law. And, you know, there's a certain point at which we as human beings have to say, is this right or wrong? And
right. The
problem is, you know, we as human beings need to stand up for what is right. And especially when you see something happening to another person, when you clearly know it's wrong, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, there's a rule saying that it's okay. You know what is right and wrong. And
right. That's
brought up in this country all the time. And I think that's why everyone can connect to this film, because when you watch it and when you hear about Janice's story, there really isn't an argument about whether or not, you know, well, maybe, you know, it was wrong. What happened to her was wrong. What happened to the children was wrong. You know, and in this film, what happens to Allie is wrong. So, you know, that's kind of where we were going with it. So
yeah,
hopefully it comes across.
Yeah, you said something earlier, Lauren. I want to go back to that, but I want to reset real quick for those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or online. You're listening to Conversations Live. We're going to ask my producer to please push the commercial break back because I want to get this point in because I think it's important. And, Lauren, you mentioned earlier when you made the comment, and I actually jotted it down when you said it because it makes so much sense, and that is emotions are emotions. They're not emotions for certain types of people, but you also said that you didn't want to get on your soapbox. But I have found that when it comes to, again, the creative community, one of the great things about being creative is that you're able to shine a spotlight on issues that matter to you and create a dialogue that is important to you. Do you feel like you accomplished this? I think I know the answer, but do you think you accomplished this with the film Quiet and the response to it so far?
You know, I do. I do think it is a film that starts a dialogue, which to me, you know, I, as a director and moving forward in the future, I only want to do films that I feel like either have a message or I feel strongly about, you know, the subject matter. And, you know, I really do feel that after people watch this movie, so basically we dedicated the film to Lisa, and, you know, it comes up during the credits, and every screening that we've been to, people just kind of gasp and like, oh, this was real, this really, you know, and I think that that's where the dialogue really, you know, people start to think, and I think that a lot of life is about perspective, right? So there are a lot of people in this world who would never be put in this position, and so it's kind of one of those things where not that they choose not to think about it, but they just, it would never be brought up to them, right? Because they would never be in that. And I think that's why, you know, there are people with gay siblings or relatives, and they're able to put their perspective is there because they're either hearing the stories firsthand or, you know, they love this person, they see what they're going through. So that's what we wanted this film to do. You know, we wanted people to see a very human love connection, a very human story, and have them go through this tragedy with these characters. And it was never about being gay. It was just a love story and a tragedy that happens. And that's what we were really hoping for, because then at the end people can say, you know what, this isn't right, and maybe look into what's going on and kind of have their eyes opened a little bit about, you know, other stories that are happening now.
Right. And I think, too, another side effect of this, I believe, Lauren, and I'll get your thoughts on this, and then we'll give out the website. Another side effect of this is that you are showing other people what is possible. A lot of times I think, and we talk about this a lot on the show, too, about the importance of stepping outside of fear. And, you know, some people would have said, oh, I can't do that because I don't know what people are going to say and I don't know what the response is going to be. You did it because you knew it needed to be done. And I think a lot of us see things in our lives that we know need to be done or that we have the ability to do, and we don't do them for different reasons. I think you're a great example of what happens when you do it and what can happen. So I do believe that. What do you hope people at the end of the day, we've kind of talked about, you know, the universal themes, but as they walk away, what do you hope they think about their own ability to evoke change? Because it seems like when you heard about this real-life story, it really sparked something in you. So when we hear about things, what do you hope that we're able then to think for ourselves about what we're capable of doing?
I think that, oh, man, you just brought up, like, the best word, which is fear, you know, and I think fear controls us in so many aspects of our lives. And, you know, I really hope that people would watch this movie and, you know, especially in middle America where it's still, you know, gay relationships and gay marriage is still, you know, one of those things where there's a lot, unless you say there's a lot more homophobia in those areas, but because I think that people are afraid to be accepting because they don't want to be judged, right? So even if they're not gay, you know, and I actually am dealing with this firsthand right now in my life where there's a person who loves me and has no problem with my life, but would never want anyone to know that, you know, they knew me or, you know, even related to me in any manner because of the fact they're scared what other people will think of them. Mm-hmm. I hope that people will watch this movie and see how normal, you know, this relationship between these two characters are. It's not any different than any other relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, emotions are emotions, you know, love is love. I mean, you can't really separate because of, you know, a sexual orientation. So I hope that people watch this movie and they see a love story and they just see a real life experience and are able to connect to it in some way in their life, you know. And I think that you really said it by saying that fear, you know, controls us, and I hope that people will, you know, step out and be brave and not let fear control them.
Yeah, and I think that is the hope that I have as well, Lauren. You know, I think there's so much that each of us can do, and the only thing really, I think, at the end of the day, keeping us from doing it is ourselves and the way that we look at ourselves. And so I appreciate you for not only doing the work that you're doing, but also encouraging people. I think, you know, it goes without saying, you're an inspiration to people.
Well, thank you.
But I also want them to know, you know, what's possible for them, and you're showing them that. Again, Lauren Fash, everyone, is our guest, a filmmaker who's doing amazing things. Quiet is the project we've been talking about. You can find out more information by going to www.quietthemovie.com. Again, that's www.quietthemovie.com. There you can also find out about the cast, the crew, and also how to stay in contact with them on the social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. And Lauren, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. We'd love to stay in contact with you, and especially as the story continues to spread, we'd love to be able to get updates from you.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to come back on.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll definitely make that happen. We hope you have a great afternoon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again, Cyrus.
Okay, no problem. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our resident chef, Bruce Treader, will be joining us from Massachusetts to give us our quick and easy cooking tip of the day. You're listening to Conversations Live here on the radio at 92.3 FM, at our friends on the East Coast at dcnowradio.com, and also through blogtalkradio.com.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alerts, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-877-653-8844. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-877-653-8844. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-877-653-8844. That's 1-877-653-8844.
Attention Conversation Live listeners. Are you looking for a fun and exciting way to strike up an intimate conversation with your lover? If so, the Sex Bucket List is for you. With a page to personalize, your very own happy face stamper, and over 600 sextivities to stamp off before you kick the bucket, you'll soon discover a sexual side of yourselves that you never knew existed. Find us at thesexbucketlist.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and as always, get busy getting dizzy.